This is episode 71 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Steve Neal's book, But Something Is There. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. So I'm going to read from chapter 29, which is titled Further Contacts, and this is what Steve has written. All during this period, the experiences and other contacts were at an all-time high, it seems sometimes daily, and in talking to other experiencers, I found it to be happening to them too. At the CERO support groups, it was apparent. One evening, I was taking out the trash. It was a clear night and a bit windy. I went to the alley on the other side of our house and got the trash can. I rolled it and opened the gate that leads to the front yard and to the street. I placed the trash can on the street. I turned around to head back when two small Asian women approached me. They were quite small, and they were wearing white shirts with dark ties and pants. They had bobbed haircuts shoulder length. Their hair was dark. They stopped and started talking to me in what I thought at the time was Chinese. Upon further reflection, it wasn't that at all. It was completely foreign. I thought that maybe they were lost and were looking for another address, as we did have Asian neighbours nearby. I told them I couldn't understand them and to try next door. Feeling a bit uneasy, I walked back to the gate and went inside the alley and closed it. I looked over the gate to see what they were doing, only to find them just standing there staring at me. It was at this moment I sensed a calm. The wind had stopped. I turned around to go back in the house through the side entrance when I saw a light in the sky. It was getting closer and, as it did, it looked like a flying car. It had lights on it, and some on the bottom that looked like coloured neon. We had this huge chumash tree, and as it came over the tree and directly over me, it stopped. I opened the door to the house and started to go in, never taking my eyes off the object, when suddenly this soft blue-white beam appeared. I have to admit that I was a little unsettled. I looked at the beam, and I knew it was for me. I was wide awake and knew I wasn't dreaming. I kept looking at the beam and I understood. Walk into it. So I did. My heart was in my throat, but I did it. As I did, I felt weightless and I started to float upwards. The next thing I can remember is being in a dimly lit building. It was barren, with hallways and adjoining rooms through doorways. A very tall, thin man was leading me, much like the ones I had met before, but no hats this time. He had some kind of jumpsuit on. I asked him, where are we going? And he said, a place you want to see. He took me into a large open room that had a long table and some chairs. The lights were off. It was dark and there was this large window with a soft light coming in, lighting the floor and the room. The man took me over to the window and as he did, I could see stars, lots of stars. There were more stars than I'd ever seen before. As I stood at the window, I leaned into the recessed window frame and looked around. Then I saw it. To my right, I could see the curve of the Earth from space. I could also see this large faceted structure. I could only imagine that it must have been the outside of a large spacecraft. I looked back at the being. He smiled and said, "Stay here for a while and enjoy this gift. We know how much it means to you." He walked away and went out through a door into the hallway. I stayed there just staring out at the stars. It seemed like an hour. I never wanted it to end. All my life I had always wanted to go into space, and here I was. I never wanted to let it go. I started to cry with joy, then I felt a hand on my shoulder. I was told it was time to go. We left the room and walked down the hallway. The next thing I remembered was being in the back seat of this flying vehicle. It was dark inside and pretty drab. No flashing lights or knobs. There was a man sitting in the front in one of the two seats. I could see between them, and there was this ball that looked iron-coloured, old and very used. He had his hand on it, and suddenly I felt movement. The window next to me revealed that we were moving through some sort of tunnel. I kept watching and, as I did, we left the tunnel and we were in space. I could see part of this huge ship. It soon moved out of view as we turned and descended towards the Earth. It wasn't long before we were over my house. I was looking down at it. The next thing I knew, I woke up on my couch in the shop. It was cold and I still had my coat on. The one side door was open and the wind was blowing cold Santa Ana. I got up to close it and looked up at the stars. I closed the door and went inside. Jilly was asleep, so I sneaked into bed and went to sleep. So next I'm reading from chapter 31, which is titled The Kitchen Visit. One of those most striking encounters I ever had was late one night at the Granada Hills house. I woke up at around 3 a.m. again. On this night, I was thirsty and headed out to the kitchen to get some water from the refrigerator. I was a bit sleepy still and walked along, while looking down at the floor. When I arrived at the kitchen, it was dimly lighted with night lights Jilly had all over the house. As I got to the refrigerator, I saw that Jilly had left the butcher table in the middle of the kitchen floor. It was blocking the refrigerator. I was perplexed. Why would she do this? My mind had automatically gone to the first plausible explanation, the wooden legs of the table. In that moment, I saw what I thought were the legs to the cutting board move. And get this, there were only two tan legs, not four. In an instant, I knew what was happening. The legs were thin and featureless with hoof-like feet. I looked up from the feet to the body and head. There before me was this tiny little being with black eyes and a smile on her face. We had a moment where we gazed into one another's eyes. I had a connection, and so much went through my mind in an instant. She was an old friend. Then, in a flash, she moved so fast it was a blur. She went through the counter and wall. I ran to the living room to see if she was in there, but it was dark and she was gone. I felt, looking back, that I had caught her off guard. But I could never be sure. I was wide awake and fully conscious when this happened, and it wouldn't be the last time. Another time it happened, it was broad daylight, around noontime. I was in the workshop and I heard a noise on the side of the house. It sounded like someone working on the roof. We didn't have any work scheduled, so I went outside to take a look. When I got outside, there was this man scraping the edges of the roof, peeling off the paint. He appeared to be in his 40s. Dark short hair with pockmarked face. He was wearing a moth-eaten old sweatshirt and beat-up blue jeans. He wore no shoes. It was about that time that I noticed he wasn't supported by a ladder of any kind, but rather just floating in mid-air. Then it struck me. This is all wrong. He looked at me and said hello. I asked what he was doing, and he said he was just fixing the roof. I told him we didn't have anyone working on the roof. Seeing him floating there, I called out, "Hey, you're an alien." At that moment, he dropped down from the roof and faced me. He morphed into the visitor lady. This time it was a taller version, but the same sort of tan skin and black eyes. In fact, she looked just like the cover of Whitley's famous book. She held up a finger to me and waved it from side to side. She gave me this smile and, it was at that point I thought I saw what looked like teeth. She moved back from me and started moving towards the gate. In a blur, she shot through the gate. As I ran to the gate and looked over it, she was in the street. She spun in a circle so fast she looked like a sandy dust devil and vanished. This week I was reading from Steve Neal's book, But Something Is There. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFOPodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app, to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.